Now, here is the central truth that we must learn from this study. Put God first in your choice and pursuit of a life vocation. That's what Moses did. It cost him dearly at first, but look what happened to him. He met God personally as no other man in history has met God. Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 26 reads, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." The Old Testament background of this text is found in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. There you will find the record of Moses' identification with the enslaved Hebrews, even though he was a prince in Pharaoh's household. Now you will read there of his first blundered attempt to relieve the oppression of the Hebrews. You will read of his flight from Egypt to the land of Midian in an effort to be safe from the anger of Pharaoh. But it was the initial choice to be identified with the Hebrew slaves rather than with their Egyptian masters which showed the presence of his faith in God. Moses' identification with the Hebrew slaves is quite surprising, for why would he do that? The Bible reports Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. If he had chosen to do so, he could have remained in the palace and lived in luxury as a prince of Egypt. So why did it come into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel? He had lived in the palace since he had been weaned as a child. Why did he identify the children of Israel as his brethren? It's quite surprising, isn't it? There's only one explanation for that decision. His mother planted the truth of his identity as a Hebrew in his mind when he was a very small child. You remember, she nursed him, and she must have talked to him about the God of Israel. He never got away from that godly influence, for the years in the palace of a king who considered himself a god would not erase the influence of a godly mother in those earliest years of childhood. Moses moved with a misguided zeal, however. He spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. He looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now Moses was acting in behalf of the people of God. For how could he help them by breaking a law that God had set in human society? God had forbidden murder and established the death penalty for murder in words he spoke to Noah long centuries before, saying, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God he made man." Moses was zealous for the welfare of his people, but his zeal was misguided. Even his own people misunderstood Moses' intention. Another day he went out to visit his captive countrymen and found two of them striving together. He tried to separate them and correct the wrong, but one of them said to him, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Well, supposing that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, Moses suddenly is aware they did not understand, so he knew his life was in danger. He left the land of Egypt in haste because his death was already decreed the moment Pharaoh knew about that murder of the Egyptian. There was no time to waste. He must have felt God's will for his life was thwarted and could never be realized. How surprised he would have been if he had known the full truth. That is, that God was preparing him in the deserts as he had prepared him in the palace for the life work which God had assigned him to do. Now, what lessons can we learn which will encourage our faith as we review this experience in the life of Moses? Here are four truths that I suggest for your consideration. First, refuse to be identified with sinners even if they are in the majority or in positions of power. There came a time in Moses' life, which the Bible calls when he had come to years, when he could make his own decisions as an adult. At that time, he chose to make it clear that he was not one of the Egyptians among whom he was reared and lived. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now that decision might have broken her heart, but it had to be made. Loyalty to God cannot be based on the opinions of relatives or friends. One must take his stand and stand there, whatever the consequences. The New Testament statement of that principle is found in the words of 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And it is found again in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18, "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now the meaning is clear to you and me, isn't it? Second, suffer, if necessary, for righteousness' sake. Look at Moses' decision. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He considered the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now the words affliction and reproach indicate the decision Moses made was no small matter. From a prince in the palaces of Egypt to a shepherd in the deserts of Midian, that was the course Moses' decision laid out for him. Jesus pronounced a special blessings on those who suffer for righteousness' sake. That is, that we can bring healing to others by the pains which we bear if we suffer in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. A third principle, have a true estimate of values. A child might trade a valuable diamond worth thousands of dollars for a brightly colored toy of almost no value, but it would be because he did not realize the relative values of those two objects. Let the Christian look at what is called the recompense of the reward in Hebrews 11:26. Look at the ultimate, not the immediate outcome of any action. We're not to live our lives looking for temporary satisfactions. On the other hand, faith requires us to live with a view to eternal realities which we do not yet see. The reproach of Christ is of greater value than wealth, power, or fame in this world. Moses understood that and made his decision. As we understand that and set our goals to the ultimate reward, our lives will be marked by faith and devotion to God. Now here is the central truth that we must learn from this study. Put God first in your choice and pursuit of a life vocation. That's what Moses did. It cost him dearly at first, but look what happened to him. He met God personally as no other man in history has met God. He became the leader of the exodus of his nation and brought them from bondage in Egypt to freedom in Canaan. He was used of God to write 5 books of the Bible. He is honored as a man of God by the 3 largest religions of the world, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. He made the right choice, and it paid him well. So you make the right choice, and you will benefit from it also. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Father, when we look at the temporal and eternal benefits of serving you, we gladly volunteer. We wait as your willing servants for you to show us the way we should go and the work we should do. As you lead, we pledge ourselves to follow, and we look with joy at what you will do through those who trust you. We want to serve you so as to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.